Well, hello and welcome to another broadcast. We're continuing in our series about two men, Paul the Apostle and Timothy the Pastor. Stay tuned. Paul is sitting in a prison. He's about to go home to heaven pretty soon. He's writing his final letters here, and he's writing to his great friend, who's a young man. His name, Timothy. He's a pastor of the church at Ephesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, he talks about how Timothy needs to think. And to think, we said, is directing your mind in a specific direction. Then in chapter 2, he talked about what Timothy needed to be. He said, be strong in the Lord. And of course, he's talking about spiritual things there. In chapter 3, it talks about what Timothy needed to know, how he needed to discern. And we said discernment is a byproduct of our spiritual strength, of being strengthened, getting into the Word of God. And then the byproduct is discernment comes from the Word. Then finally, in chapter 4, he told Timothy, this is what you need to do. And he gave instructions that are there, and they're written for our admonition, how to do what we need to do here in this age of apostasy that we're living in. Now, chapter 2, he said here in verse number 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong. Now, if you're going to have strength physically, you need to eat right and you need to exercise. And if we're going to have strength spiritually, we need to eat right and we need to exercise. And the Bible says we need to have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And one of the greatest needs that we have today in this age of apostasy is the need for discernment. Now, in our last program, we were looking at the pastor at Pergamos. He didn't have any discernment. In Revelation chapter 2, he was a hard worker. He had not denied the faith, but his discernment was a problem. He was allowing the doctrine of Balaam to get into the church. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans was infiltrating into the church. He didn't have the discernment to know what to do about that or to even know what was going on, even though he was a hard worker and he had not denied the faith. And so Jesus said to him in this letter that he wrote to that pastor, he said, repent or else. You can read in Revelation chapter 2. Well, Ecclesiastes 8 and 11 says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And that's what happened. They had the deeds of the Nicolaitans in Revelation chapter 2. By the time you get in verse number 6, and by the time you get to Revelation 2 and verse number 15, we have the doctrine of the Nicolaitans totally infiltrated. Started with the deeds, ended up with the doctrine. Well, the same thing happened to the church at Galatia. And I think sometimes the only thing we learn from history is we don't learn from history. But back in the local church there at Galatia, we read in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 6 that Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you under the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He went on to say, there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Now he said, though we, or an angel, a messenger from heaven, preach any other gospel, any man preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. Is he saying let him die and go to hell? No. The Greek word translated accursed is anathema. It means to set apart for judgment. It was a temple type of our New Testament church discipline. Strong's Concordance says that it, anathema was to prepare a proclamation that was to be hung upon the walls or columns of the temple or put in some other conspicuous place. And so Paul is saying, though if it's me, he said, though another messenger from God, though anybody, any man preach any other gospel unto you, let him be put up for judgment, set apart for judgment. That's what it's talking about here. Well, Timothy, are you going to do that? You going to do that? Are we going to do it today? Are we going to have this standing guard on the pure doctrine, as it says in Jude, that, you know, it was needful that I write unto you that you contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints? Our faith is being torn apart lately. We have had people come in with another gospel that says you do not have to repent in order to be saved. Do you know how serious that is? That is a damnable heresy. What are we going to do about that? He says, though we or any man preach any other gospel unto you, let him be judged, set up for judgment. That's what it's talking about here. Well, Timothy had his situation. He had to decide, will I do it or not? Today we have international influences. We have hundreds, if not thousands, of ministries that are influencing Christians. Some of these ministries are spiritual, and some of them are far from it. The Christian who does not learn how to think according to the Scriptures is going to go astray. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 15, it says, "He that is spiritual judgeth all things." Jesus said in John 7:24, judge righteous judgment. Jesus also said, ye shall know or recognize them by their fruit, Matthew 7:16. Now, the thing with all these international influences that we have today, and you're listening to one right now, our programs are going all over the world. We hear from all over the world with these broadcasts. Well, you better make sure, Pastor, that what I'm saying is according to the Scripture, and if it's not, you better let your people know that I'm saying something that is not according to the Scripture. And if I'm saying something that is according to the Scripture, maybe you better defend this program. In any event, what we need to do is to stand up and say what needs to be said concerning the apostasy that is coming from our movement and flooding into our churches these days. We need to understand that silence gives consent. It is not enough to quietly disassociate ourselves from apostate leaders or those who promote unscriptural doctrine. Jude said in Jude 1:3, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The dictionary says to contend is to state a fact or belief confidently and forcefully. Now, Timothy, Paul is saying you need to do this. When these come in with this false doctrine, they need to be judged. It's called church discipline today. Oh, we're going to look the other way because there's too many people with too much money putting it on the plate. Oh, we can't discipline them. A little doctrine won't hurt. Yeah, check that out in the Bible and see if a little doctrine won't hurt. We said that the deeds of the Nicolaitans turned out to be the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and the church was destroyed. And it's happening today. So Paul is writing to Timothy and he's saying, Timothy, you need to stand up and you need to be heard. Don't let anybody despise your youth. Do what is right, he says. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good pastors to say nothing about the blasphemous heresy that is being promoted under the banner of our so-called fundamental movement today that says that we don't have to repent in order to be saved. As pastors, we need to withdraw ourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received, and our people need to know why, and they need to know who the apostates are. Peter wrote concerning the congregation that they would understand. He said, the time has come that judgment or discernment must begin at the house of God, and the only way a congregation can judge righteous judgment is if they have all the facts. Once again, silence. Silence gives consent. In Ezekiel's day, they were judged for what they did not preach, not what they preached. We read in Ezekiel 22:26, "Her priests have violated my law. They have profaned my holy thing. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed the difference between the unclean and the clean." Ezekiel 44:23 says, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." Now, what we need to do is understand. Did you get that part? I want to say it again. God commanded, "They shall teach my people the difference and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." We are to teach the people to do that. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy, and Paul is saying, "Timothy, are you going to be doing this? Are you going to be the kind of pastor God wants you to be? Timothy, you better stand up. It's not going to be a very popular thing. You'll find your church getting smaller, not getting bigger, but it's a command of God. Our mandate in our age of apostasy is this. Isaiah 59:19 says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." A standard. This is a standard. Now, the standard here is not talking about getting a haircut and acting like a fundamentalist. The standard here, the word is the same word that is translated in Psalm 60:4 that says, "Thou shalt give a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth." It refers to everybody standing up and letting people know where they stand in this age of apostasy. Well, the pastor at Pergamos had no discernment concerning what he should have hated, and the people under his watch care needed to know that he hated what he hated because he hated what the Lord hates. Get in the Bible and look and see what the Lord hates. Timothy needed to understand that the next generation was at stake, and we need to understand that today. Apostasy is not the absence of truth. It is a subtle mixture of truth with error, and our people need to know the difference. Discernment is critical in these last days. Jeremiah 3:15 says, "I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." What kind of pastors are according to the heart of God? Those that feed their people with knowledge and understanding. There's much more to a successful church than having a large group of people sitting out there listening to us who have no discernment. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." And then he went on to say, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And thou, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will also forget thy children," he said. Yeah, that's the next generation. Years ago, R.A. Torrey said this, and I quote, "The man who has no technical knowledge of the Greek and Hebrew, but has spiritual discernment, is far more competent critic of the Bible than he who has a rare technical knowledge of the Greek and Hebrew, but has no spiritual discernment." He went on to say, "It is exceedingly unfortunate that, in some quarters, more emphasis is laid on the knowledge of the Greek and the Hebrew in training for the ministry than is laid on the spiritual life and its consequential spiritual discernment," unquote. Well, discernment only comes from the Word of God. To have our senses exercised on the issues of our day, we must have a vigorous workout in the Scriptures concerning each issue. It means hours and hours of study, not just listening to a message like the one you're listening to now. You might have picked up a little information with this message. However, discernment only comes from God, and He only gives it to those who, like David or Job, would pray, "Lord, teach me." The pastor at Pergamos was very active. He was involved in a ministry. He was standing true. He had not denied the faith, but he was not very actively involved in the Word. He didn't have discernment, and Jesus warned him, "Repent or else." We need to understand when it comes to discernment, Psalm 119:30 says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple." We need to get into the word, let the word get into us, and the byproduct is discernment.